Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, I had a deadly yarn about a week ago with Dr. Fatima Yogurt, who's a senior research fellow at James Cook University, Mount Isa Centre for Rural and Remote Health, also with the University of Queensland. And sleep health studies has found Indigenous Australian children suffer disproportionately from sleep problems compared to counterparts, the first non-Indigenous brothers and sisters. There's a new project on the table after more research. I'm going to talk with Dr. Fatima about the new project on the line. Very good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Yeah, good morning to you, Trevor. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So as a senior research fellow, you've done more research, found more evidence to work in this area. There is a big gap between non-Indigenous children and Indigenous children regarding sleep health, yes?
Yeah, absolutely, Trevor. There's a huge gap, and it is unfortunate because sleep is a modifiable factor, and through sleep health, we can prevent the risk of many other future health issues, mental health problems, physical health issues, and for young people, improve their academic performance. So using that evidence, we are trying to develop a program in community so that young people can benefit from sleep health.
And what sort of activities or support in regard to the new project? Are we communicating with like the elders in the community? Is it more robust, this conversation?
Oh, yeah, it's a very much community-driven. So last year we applied for the Medical Research Future Funding grant application to seek funding for a project, and we were successful. And so now this project aims to co-design and deliver a sleep improvement program for Indigenous youth in Mount Isa in collaboration with community elders. So we are conducting extensive community consultations with elders, parents, carers, Indigenous youth and service providers to develop the program. And we want this program to be responsive to local context, local needs and challenges.
Yes.
We want to offer something which is actionable within the challenge, within the context of the community they are living. So it's very much community-owned, community-driven, and we are trying to incorporate traditional knowledge with scientific knowledge so that the youth can benefit from both the cultural and the traditional knowledge and the scientific knowledge to improve their sleep health.
Doctor, when we talk about sleep health, are we talking about a disease as such or a bad habit?
We for this program, we are focusing more on behavioral sleep issues for, you know, even people don't know if they are going to bed later in the night and if they're not following a consistent bedtime, if they are sleeping for less than required hour, and if they are experiencing some symptoms which are potentially indicative of serious sleep issues. So they can't seek help because they are not empowered, they don't have the knowledge. So through this program, we are trying to introduce behavioral changes, but we will also screen people for sleep disorders, and those who will come with a positive screening, they will be referred to appropriate services. So this program is more about community awareness, community education, and community empowerment to know what is sleep health, why it's important, how can young people improve their sleep health, and if someone needs a medical intervention, then they should be seeking that help.
So we're talking about, uneducated in the sense of insomnia. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it's not clinical insomnia, but it would be, because for clinical insomnia, you need to seek medical treatment.
Okay.
We are talking more about behavioral sleep issues.
Behavior.
Due to lifestyle-induced, you know, problems. People, you know, they are playing late night on their phones or tablets or iPads and the food they are eating, that, you know, high intake of caffeinated drinks or physical inactivity, all those sort of lifestyles.
Full of sugar, hypo.
Are indicative of poor sleep hygiene. So we want to share this knowledge and then offer some help to young people so that how can they can change their thoughts and behaviors around sleep, health and habits.
Well, look, I like to think I'm an educated black man, you know, but when dealing with kids and like as parents, sometimes we don't know that there's a problem in regard to our kids staying up late like so, or, you know, not getting enough sleep. If you're naive to it, then you're creating a problem, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And most of the problem is because of lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Lack of knowledge of the long-term effects. People know about the short-term effects of poor sleep.
Okay.
But they don't know what will happen to them 10 years later if they're not sleeping well today. And empowering the community so that they can make those changes in their lifestyle, small things which can lead to improved sleep health.
Okay, so very important that the new project that you're running with, and thanks to the funding, we can now delve deeper into the situation and help educate our parents as well as our kids in the situation with the sleep health problem.
Yep, and one important thing that I need to mention is that we are trying to build local capacity. We are investing in training and education of two Aboriginal youth from the community, and they would play the role of sleep coach. So they would deliver the program to young people from the community. So it's about investing in local people,
yes,
local community, so that the benefits of research can be reaped and sustained beyond the life of the project.
Yes.
And these two young people who are going to be the sleep coach for the project, they're very bright, very passionate, and they are they really want to help other young people in the community.
Look, it creates a career as such for these two young First Nation people, and also nothing beats black on black, Doctor.
Yep, absolutely, and this is one of its kind program in Australia.
Yes.
No one else has done that in Australia, so we are hoping that promoting this work and highlighting that through local capacity building, we can bring sustainable changes.
Yes.
Is what we need to repeat in other communities instead of asking people from Brisbane to come here.
Exactly.
And do something for local members.
Exactly.
Members.
Tackle it locally.
Local people. Yep.
Yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, I think it's a great investment. Love the work that you're doing. Look, closing that gap, so very important problem we have regarding First Nation kids with that sleep health problem, and we need to close that gap, and you are doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much for communicating with us here on National Talk Black, and please always do keep us in mind regarding the outcomes and the light ahead, yes?
Yeah, well, thank you, Trevor, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate that, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fatima. You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Adele Yan there. Dr. Fatima Yugut, her name is, and she is the senior fellow, a research fellow at James Cook University, Mount Isa Centre for Rural and Remote Health, and also with University of Queensland, and talking about the sleep health studies has found Indigenous Australian children suffer disproportionately from sleep problems. And we had that conversation about a week ago with Dr. Fatima, and now with continued research and studies, seek more funding in regarding taking on two Indigenous workers, youth workers, to work closely with Dr. Fatima in regarding closing that gap with that problem of sleep health. So there it is, your mob. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
Come on, 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 come on G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know what, BBM, Bummer Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yeah, they say, love thy neighbour. That's what they say. That's the old saying. Well, it is Neighbour Day coming up very soon. Sunday, March 28 is Neighbour Day. And we're going to catch up a yarn with the ambassador for Neighbour Day, the only First Nation person as ambassador. And we have the beautiful Natalie Armat. How are you, sister?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Oh, look, I'm a proud Mudra woman from Wave Hill in the Northern Territory, and my grandfather's from Mobyag Island up there in the Torres Strait. Not so much, not too far from where you are.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Neighbours.
Absolutely. But yeah, living here on Cammeraygal, living and working actually on Cammeraygal country in Sydney for the past, coming up 13 years.
Yes, exactly. Look, intro for our conversation here is the past 18 months have thrown many significant challenges our way. Everything from bushfires to mouse plague, I saw that on YouTube, to the flooding of recent days, and of course, coronavirus. And the effects have been devastating. And that's where neighbours come into the frame of things, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, there's been not too many positives out of the past year with all that's happening, particularly with the coronavirus pandemic. But I guess if there is a silver lining, it has been the role of our neighbours and other people, you know, in our community around us, as we've all had to, you know, initially. The message to stay home. Some people had to kind of go into self-isolation or quarantining. So it's really amplified how important it is to have good people around us. And I think with our busy lifestyles nowadays, neighbours perhaps, you know, especially, I don't know what it's like up there in far north Queensland, perhaps, you know, you know, you're a little bit closer to your neighbours, but certainly living in the city, sometimes your lifestyle gets so busy and, yes. You know, oftentimes people don't even know
their
neighbours exactly. Or what their neighbours' names are. So, you know, I think suddenly when we're all stuck home during the pandemic and in some cases, you know, people might have needed extra help with things like the groceries and the toilet paper shortage and everything, never was it more important to know those around you that you could call on them for support if you needed it, because you might not be able to rely on friends to travel, you know, longer distances to come see you and help out. So,
well, when the chips are down, Australia has always been strong in regarding supporting thy neighbour, you know. We come together when the chips are down, don't we?
We've seen that through, you know, well, we sort of forget that before the pandemic came the bushfires. We've got the flooding happening, you know, here in sort of the southeast, and I know southeastern parts of Queensland as well, you know, cyclones and how important, you know, and that's really where we see, you know, I guess the best of people come out, you know, checking on those elderly and vulnerable people and help everyone coming together after natural disasters to help clean up and rebuild. And then you have things, again, like we've spoken about with the pandemic, which is a little bit different, but still that need to sort of help out those in the community that might be a little bit vulnerable has never been more important. So, and I think it's something certainly in our communities we've always done. We've always looked out for our elders. We've always looked out for vulnerable people and those around us. So this is Neighbour Day is just a really nice reminder every year of the importance of getting to know those around you. But really, I think the last 12 months have taught us anything. It's every day, really.
Exactly, that's right.
Neighbour Day.
And they could take a page of our book as in First Nation people, because we belong to that caring, sharing, you know, reaching out, and that's what we do. Now, 28th March is the designated day for Neighbour Day, and that's coming up. So we're just highlighting that point to, be aware and look out for your neighbours, and anything that you can do, you know, take the garbage out, you know, go to the shop, ask if they need anything, mow the lawns, whatever, especially elders or, you know, people who are vulnerable.
Right. And that's, you know, that they're wonderful things to do, especially, you know, if you're getting out and, you know, getting the lawnmower out anyway, if there is someone that can help. And I think certainly in our community, that's something that we've always done. I know, you know, my dad always talked about when he grew up, it was like whoever needed a feed that was, you know, exactly. was around there. It's like all of the kids sat down. So it's something we've been doing for a long time. But the other thing is, it doesn't necessarily, if you are someone like me that lives in the city and with a busy lifestyle, it doesn't sort of have to be something necessarily that a big gesture that it's something you need to go yes. out of your way to do. For some people, especially some of the older people in our society, they might not have family close by, they might not be linked into all of
just
the
just a yarn would be fantastic, and, eh?
Exactly.
A cup of tea
just
in the
smiling
yard.
And saying hello and, a cup of tea, that could really make someone's day, especially if they're someone that's, you know, that is apart from their family and might not be able to travel because of the, you know, the coronavirus restrictions until they get the vaccine. They might not feel comfortable moving around. So just a smile and a, you know, just checking in as you pass people in the corridors, that one little moment, that little exchange could actually, you know, make a real difference to their day. So
exactly.
It doesn't have to be a grand gesture, although if you know your neighbours and want to bake them a cake, and certainly if my neighbours want to bake me a cake,
yeah, bring it on.
But just a quick stop, how you going, how about this weather for those of us that live down here where it's currently pouring in Sydney, you know, those little exchanges, we should never underestimate the power of that and how much that might mean to someone.
Exactly. And their Neighbour Day have chosen well regarding having you on board, Natalie Armat, as an ambassador, NITV presenter, producer, filmmaker. You're a proud First Nation woman and good to have colour at the table, so to speak. So why did you decide to become a Neighbour Day ambassador?
Look, I think it's sort of, as we've been speaking about, I've got to admit, back when I was first approached, which is going back 5 or 6 years ago, I hadn't actually heard of Neighbour Day, but when I learnt about it, I realised, you know, it's sort of something that's inherent within the Aboriginal community anyway. We're always looking to make those connections. Like, you know, the first thing you ask me, who's your mob, where you're from?
Yes.
Like, we actively make those connections and you know, work out, and we look out for each other, you know, that way that, you know, you might be at an event and, you know, we'll all just gravitate towards each other.
Yes.
You know, we know a lot. So I sort of thought, firstly, I think the Indigenous community, we're doing this anyway. We're practicing the you know, values of Neighbour Day every day. So that certainly kind of resonated with me. But I'm not sure if you know the background to Neighbour Day, but it actually developed, it was after an elderly woman in Melbourne had passed away. She had no family, and it was for years before anyone discovered, you know, that
body.
She'd passed.
Okay.
Yeah, just because her neighbours obviously were so busy, and as coming from the Indigenous community, where our elders are so precious,
exactly,
to us, like that, I remember seeing that story on the news and being heartbroken about it. But one of the
We don't see an elder in two hours. We go and check on her or check on them.
Yeah,
check on him.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So that sort of, you know, that was such a heartbreaking story. But out of that came this movement to create a day just to remind us all, as a, you know, Australian society, of the importance of checking in. So that's kind of, as you know, coming from you know, as I said, a community that I think practices Neighbour Day as a natural thing, and the, you know, the devastating of idea of an elderly lady that no one, you know, no one had checked on, made me want to become a part of Neighbour Day. And as I said, the last 12 months have definitely amplified how important it is to get to know those around us with getting through coronavirus.
Yes,
sure.
So when you hear that story, it's very sad. And as you said at the opening of the conversation, is we are so busy running our lives that the thought of what's happening next door or is everything okay? I haven't seen that person. Just be aware. That's what Neighbour Day brings to the table, doesn't it? Just have your eyes and ears open and make sure you just touch base, you know, especially if you haven't seen them for a couple of days. Is everything okay? I haven't seen you guys? All good? You know?
Yeah, that's it. So, as I said, it doesn't... Obviously, if you know your neighbours well, then throw a street party or, you know, bake them a cake, but it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It can be as simple as, you know, are you doing okay? Is there anything I can help you with? Or just letting them know, hey... Because, you know, some people, you don't want to go and, you know...
In their face, no.
And be in their face too, because some people do like their privacy. But
exactly.
It can be as simple as leaving them a note in their letterbox saying, you know, I'm Natalie in number 10. If you ever need anything, here's my mobile number. So.
Exactly. Well, we live in a cul-de-sac and, look, for the last 10-odd years... we catch up around Christmas time and close off the street virtually and have a big party in the cul-de-sac. But we only do that once a year. We still respect each other's privacy throughout the whole 12 months, but we just touch base, give each other a wave, you know, share tools, whatever, share cakes, but then we get together once a year and that's Christmas time. So that's sort of connection, you know, respecting people.
That's a wonderful connection. But, as I said, it can be as big as a street party or as simple as, you know, leaving them a card in the letterbox just to say, hey, I'm right next door if you need anything.
Exactly. Look, a beautiful conversation. 28 March, that's when Neighbour Day hits. But you and I know that Neighbour Day is 365 days a year, isn't it, sister?
Absolutely. that's if there's one message, it's that, every day is a good day to get to know your neighbours.
Good, beautiful. Nice chatting with you, Natalie. All the best to you and your deadly team, your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Absolutely, Trevor.
Take care, Dale. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Natalie Armat. Yeah, too deadly. A NITV presenter, producer, filmmaker and proud First Nation woman. She's ambassador for Neighbour Day. So the message there is just check on your neighbour, both sides, and just see how things are, maybe upstairs, downstairs, and just see how they go and touch base, and not in their face, but with the time that we're having at the moment with coronavirus and with floods and with fires and the mouse plague. I mentioned that in regard to, if you ever seen it on YouTube, the mouse plague down there at country New South Wales. Ridiculous, very ridiculous. So there it is, things are happening. So just thy neighbour, they say the best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up. So take that on board, you mob. Stay connected here with National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. And call the number, Yana, with the baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I'm your First Nation host for the First Nation host for National Talk Black. That's the program, yes.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. On your daily program, National Talk Black, have your say. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with the ball, you're on Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bunbury Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well for your keyboard warriors, BBM 98.7 FM. Are you going to catch up with the boys in blue? Usually a girl here. Nicole, big shout out, my sister. Missing you. A lot prettier than these three boys in front of me, but we have Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, our PLO, Stephen Grant, and also Naya Martin, first year constable. A very good morning to you all, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, thank
morning,
you very Trev. Much. We'll go with Naha. Talk to me, please, brother. First year constable. Naha Martin, have I got the pronunciation right?
It's pronounced Naya.
Naya. And so where's Naya come from?
It's Japanese.
White brother, you don't look Japanese.
I'm far from Japanese. I think my parents were going through some sort of life moment at that point in time.
And you was the guinea pig.
I was the guinea pig, and here I am.
So tell me about your childhood life growing up, Naha.
Yeah, so.
Sounds American Indian, actually.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Mm. The meaning of Naya itself is guide you on the right path.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you became a police officer.
I became a police officer. I don't know how well I'm going so far, but here I am doing my best.
Well, there you go, brother. Welcome to the program. And Senior Glenn Delay, Sergeant Glenn Delay, how are you, my brother?
Very good, thank you.
Bit of a haircut going on there.
I'm doing my very best to impersonate you. And
that's a big job, brother.
I know.
Big shoes are filled there, brother.
I know.
Looking smooth. And also Stephen Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, my brother. Who you mob, where you from?
Yeah, Trevor, Jidwal Warrior from the Kasseri Coast region, yes. Mission Beach, Cardinal Tully area.
Yes.
So it's a great area to grow up.
Yep, fantastic. And as you were saying, you were doing a bit of work down there at Sherberg area?
That is correct, yep.
How long were you down there for?
3.5 years.
Big shout out, Sherberg Mob.
Sherberg Mob there, and my colleague, Mr. Victor Albert, should be drinking his coffee at Walker's this Coffee time. Bar this time of the morning.
No, the routine, eh?
That's correct.
Do police officers do donuts here in America?
I've banned donuts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Senior Sergeant Light put his foot down.
We don't eat donuts.
Never shawn tea?
Maybe the odd
scones, cream and jam?
The odd biscuit, but not definitely not.
Cream bun Friday. Cream bun Friday.
Cream bun Friday. All right, I must drop in, boys. Cream bun Friday. But I got what you call furniture disease. My chest dropped in my drawers. I got to get that back up here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, a very important conversation. This fantastic segment is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton, and they give us a box of fruit here once a week. And we promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle to a school-based traineeship, as well as all our staff. So, chew on a banana or an apple rather than a chico roll, you mob. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, our topic today, gel blasters.
Yes.
So I was just YouTubing it. It's like a gun.
It is.
It's a toy gun, but what are we finding? Constituents out there walking around with gel blasters, is looking like a gun, which is detrimental to...
A little bit concerning.
Concerning, to the safety of constituents.
Yep. So we are, the Queensland Police Service is responding to an increasing calls for service to what witnesses described as a person with a weapon or with a gun.
Yes.
And on most of these occasions when they're investigated, we're finding that what they actually are is these toys, which are gel blasters. Mm. But for your listeners that have never seen a gel blaster, they are almost exact replica of
a gun, of a rifle, machine gun.
They can be replicas of our Glocks that police use, or they can be, absolutely, your semi-automatic weapons.
And they are legal.
They're legal. They're currently legal in Queensland. Other states have different laws regulating the use of gel blasters. So it's currently not an offence to possess a gel blaster in Queensland.
Is it a licence as an
arm?
No,
you don't need to licence to possess one. So
well, you can't be walking around with it.
No. So, they are fairly popular with a group of people, that enjoy the games that they play with them.
Games, it's a game, isn't it? Yep.
But our concern is obviously because it's so realistic that members of the community do believe that it's a gun and that does cause them fear.
Is there an age where you can own a gel blaster?
I'm not aware. There's no restrictions on the sale of gel blasters in this state.
Calling it a kid, 13-year-old walking around in Cairns Central with a jolt blaster.
Yeah.
It can be looking very scary.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
Yep. So there are offences that wrap around that still get committed, even though it is a toy.
Well, when you say it's a replica, it looks like a gun.
Correct. Yep.
So if you come across somebody with that in their hand, you're asking them to put the weapon down. If they face it towards you, don't know as a copper.
I don't know what it's going to be. No, that's
exactly.
Right. And look, and nor would you sort of, you would absolutely believe it was a gun, and you would respond that it was a gun.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when those sorts of incidences, when police do come across members of the community that do have a real gun, the reaction time that we have is microseconds. And that's the difficulty.
So outlets who are selling those particular gel blasters, there's got to be rules that go with it.
Not with the sale of them.
No.
Not at this stage in this state. So, I know you've got listeners all over this country, so
yep.
People would have to check in with their individual states
okay.
With what their laws are. But currently in Queensland, there's no restrictions. Mm. But I'd advise anyone that does have possession of one that they do keep an eye on that because some states are moving, Queensland may at some stage. To regulate the use of those gel blasters.
Mm.
And that may be a consideration before buying one as well.
Are they similar to paintball guns?
Yeah, so from what I understand, they're using a canister of compressed gas
okay.
to fire the small ball of gel
yes.
out of the barrel of the weapon, yep.
Okay. So there it is. So is it becoming popular? Are you finding it here in Far North Queensland or across probably cities?
It's probably across the country.
It's growing.
Yeah.
It's definitely growing as it becomes more aware to the public and,
yeah.
you know, how easy accessible they are.
Sure.
People will probably start jumping on board more.
Yeah.
So it probably will start being seen more throughout the north up here.
Okay. So I know I'm just trying to fathom, the thought process behind it. I mean, walking on the streets, you're going to go down to the street, down the bush, down the creek, and do some shooting.
Yeah.
But you're walking on the street carrying the gun like so.
Yeah. So there are laws.
People are making phone calls to the police.
Absolutely, and you are committing an offence by having it,
exposed like that, displayed
in the public area. Or if it's even observed, from another area and you're in a public area, so someone's in their house and they're looking across the park and you have these weapons.
So in actual fact, it should be like in the boot of the car, if you drive into an area to meet up with all your games players to go and play the game, then you bring it out in that area. But you can't be carrying down the street to go to that area because already you're walking along the streets with a gun.
But even in the area, in the park, you're still committing that offence of going armed to cause fear. Because members of the public that also have access to those parking areas or public areas, they don't know that that's not a real gun. So
sure. Oh, I'm talking about a designated park area, like they have paintball areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, fenced off the way you do it.
But that's right, yep. So you'd have to keep that concealed.
Sure, exactly.
On the trip there.
But I'm saying don't walk down from your house to that area carrying the gun openly.
Not at all, no.
Put it in a booty car or wrap it up. When you get there, then take it out of the wrapping, so to speak.
Absolutely, yep. So they must be concealed. So, there's and other offences that we look at is just if someone even just points the gel blaster at a person, there's an offence of common assault there because that causes them fear that they are going to be. And certainly if it's discharged at a person, there's obviously the common assault when the pellet hits that person.
But yeah.
Assault occasionally.
I don't, gentlemen, have you ever been shot by one?
I have not.
No, not be a bit not of a while sting. Working.
No.
No, not while working, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
you,
I have.
Ever come close?
It can give you a little bit of a
bit
sting.
A
little bit of a welt.
Is that right? Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
Depending how it's been done.
And then we've got if there's bruising, then there's an assault, occasional bodily harm. Mm. And if you lose an eye,
then
we're looking at the grievous bodily harm. So
yeah.
They're not an innocent toy.
Well, that person can see you as well, you know, like you're talking about, well, blindness.
Yep. So, there's some of the considerations. You also can't shoot animals with a gel blaster.
Okay.
So there's offences there.
Cruelty to animals, yes.
Absolutely. So there's some of the considerations people need to make when they're using these toys
yep.
that actually do fire a projectile.
So you as officers, do you go to like an outlet that sells it to talk to them, to talk about the rules that come with it? Or
well, that's the problem at the minute is that there's no real restrictions on the sale of these items to members of the public. Usually if our crews are coming into contact with gel blasters, it's normally in the local park where a group of young people have taken upon themselves to have a little game.
Yeah, sure.
And members of the community are concerned.
The backyard is too small, let's go down to the park.
Yep. Fortunately,
yeah, exactly.
Because police are aware of it, attending the job, they're already discussing whether they think this is a real firearm incident or a gel blaster game.
Yep.
And, you know, if it's not accompanied with loud gunfire, you know, consideration would be that it is a gel blaster game.
So I suppose a warning could be done while we're talking here now. If you've got a gel blaster and the police come along, you best put the weapon down straight away. Explain to them, hands up, explain to them, it's only a gel blaster, but then you'll have your conversations.
Looking at some of the incidences that our troops have come into contact with gel blasters, how it sort of rolls out is when they go to that incident, even though in the back of their mind that they've already made the decision it's possibly a gel blaster incident, they treat it as a real firearm incident.
Have to.
So it's quite scary for the young fellas that do have the gel blasters because the police do draw their firearms.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yelling and shouting and directions for them to get on the ground, put the weapon on the ground.
Yes.
Don't move. They can handcuff them if they feel fit until they can prove that this is not a gel blaster. Then these are incidents happening out in the
but for the police to engage, they're in public with this gel blaster, which looks like a gun.
Exactly. Yep. So it can be quite frightening for the young children that are out there playing a game. But you know, police will absolutely approach this as it is a real weapon.
And hence my question: how old do you have to be to purchase a gel blaster? And if there's no age, a 15-year-old, 14-year-old can go out there and buy a gun, but they're walking around with not knowing the rules of engagement or the position they put themselves in.
Or having the maturity to know the responsibilities of playing those games with that toy. Mm. So, look, I do think at some stage legislation will move and, you know, it will be regulated at some stage. Just at the moment, it's not regulated.
Well, it's sad, but fatality, if someone's in the park with a gel blaster and they face it towards you as officers, you're drawing your guns.
Correct.
And then the rule will come out.
Yeah, look.
Let's have the rule beforehand.
Exactly. We hope, you know, this doesn't ever result in an injury or fatality of any person. So, that's why we're on the program today to talk about this, so people are aware.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, look beyond the fun of the game.
Yeah.
You know, the coolness of the toy and make those decisions, you know, as you're saying, conceal it before they get to where they need to use it. And certainly if police are arriving, you know, obey every direction that's given to them.
Yep.
And look, even to the point of going into your local police station and saying, hey, we're going down to Billy Joe's farm to have a game. If you get any calls for service.
Yes.
And this is my contact number.
You're doing your bit there.
Then look, it helps police know what's going on.
Exactly.
And that may be something you could possibly do to help yourself out.
Sure. Exactly. I know, brother, I'm looking at Brother Steve here. When you and I were growing up, brother, never heard of gel blasters. You and I were dodging Changais.
Yes, that's correct. You know? Things have changed in 40 years.
Incoming. So there it is. First year constable. You haven't come across anything like that?
Nah, not on the streets at all. But I'm definitely hearing more and more stories. Mm. Obviously, the media are portraying it a lot more.
So the bullets don't come in packages, do they, for this gel blaster guns?
Mm. Yeah, you can buy them in quite big packets, like 200, 300, 400.
And some of them machine guns, eh? Just shoot off, fire off, fire off. Yeah, semi-automatic.
Mm.
There it is. Okay, gel blasters, they're out and about. You might need to be careful if you are purchasing or looking at, you know, getting into that frame of games. But you need to do very carefully and don't carry the weapons in public. Because they're looking like a machine gun, looking like a gun, a real gun, replica of a gun. And you may get phone calls and the police may attend and it could be create havoc.
Mm.
So look before you leap, so to speak.
That's the one.
Yeah. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Very good yarn. Gel blasters. We have all different yarns. And when we catch up with you guys from Edmonton Police, fantastic. We'll be on soon. When's Sister Nicole back at the desk?
Look, I think she's... few more weeks or next week?
Well, as I mentioned, she looked prettier than you three boys.
She's back Monday, isn't she? Yeah. Monday we go. So
she looked prettier than you three boys. I mean, good to see you, brothers. But come
Steve's,
on,
Steve's got her all managed.
I was just talking to an ophthalmologist about eyesight. You guys are hurting my eyesight. You know what I'm saying? All the best, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, too deadly. That was Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pocone IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton, with Edmonton Police Senior Sergeant Glenn Deli, First Year Constable Naha Martins, and also PLO Police Liaison Officer Stephen Dredd. That brother owes me lunch. I know where he lives. All good. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Ready for the yarn, your mob, here on your daily program. National Talk Black, too deadly.